How can we intentionally create inclusive and impactful outdoor learning experiences for youth? This is the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development podcast series. I'm Carrie Rabideau, and I'm an extension educator. In this podcast, we're going to hear about 8 key components for developing transformative outdoor learning experiences for youth, along with a few tips for program staff who want to implement those ideas. I am joined in this conversation by Nicole Picorni and Christina Abbas, both extension educators with the Center for Youth Development. And I would like to thank both of you for being a part of today's podcast.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm really excited to talk about this topic with you.
Thanks so much for having us today.
I've been wanting to get the outdoor adventures topic on this podcast series for quite some time. So I'm really excited to jump into this today. Important conversation about creating inclusive outdoor adventure experiences for all young people. Christina, will you start us off in this conversation, getting us all on the same page about this topic? What are nature-based experiences and why don't all youth have access?
Yeah, so we've looked at a lot of different definitions on here and really focused our work on this, with nature-based experiences being all experiences in the outdoors, but that's ranging from exploration in your backyard, your local park, to camping experiences, to higher intensity adventure-based outdoor programs, like things like high ropes courses. And there are a lot of different reasons why not all youth have access. The first part of accessibility I think about is that local parks. Here in Minnesota, we have a lot more access to local parks. Rochester, for example, where I live, 73% of residents live within a 10-minute walk of a park, which is awesome, but that means a lot of those kids are not close to a park, which means they need to be accompanied by a parent to go have that exploration time or transportation or all those other aspects that start adding barriers to immersion and green spaces. Then if you start looking at outdoor recreation, if you do a simple Google image search, you'll find pictures of mostly white men and women in faraway places, mountains in the background, skiing, paragliding, all sorts of things that kind of give you the idea that outdoor recreation means that you need to have access to a lot of money for those legacy sports, for a lot of gear, for leaving your backyard, which isn't true. So that's just reinforcing those ideas. For me, I was always curious about the outdoors and had, you know, sprinklings of experiences with camp and stuff growing up, but I did not come from an outdoorsy family. And it wasn't until recently that I found a love for hiking and exploring the outdoors, and on my own navigated the park system, what proper attire is during different times of the year, very much like a trial by error, and began to realize that there's a gap in those supports for, honestly, first timers in the outdoors, whether you're a youth or a 20-something. And around the time I started diving into this topic, I also had my first camping experience. But what really hit me with that was the realization that even though that was, you know, new for me and I did not have support necessarily in that experience, I felt safe doing so as a single female just with my dog. And that's not the reality for everyone. The reality is these experiences aren't experienced equitably. For many, they come with generational trauma of seeing culture ignored in these spaces, land stolen, or more current trauma or still existing trauma of safety in public spaces, and therefore aren't an opportunity sought out. So that's where we've dove into looking at how to make these opportunities more accessible.
Really a complex issue, isn't it?
There are definitely a lot of layers here of getting all youth and families, honestly, out to the outdoors, and then adding in the component of more intentionality with it, of all the benefits that come from having the challenge opportunities in the outdoors that Nicole will dive into.
Yeah, perfect. Because I appreciate you laying out all of the layers and explaining to us why all youth don't have access. But maybe that leads us to the question of, so why is it important? Why is it important to have these experiences?
Carrie, what we're finding in the research is that connection to the land and connection to nature brings an entire amount of health benefits, mentally, physically, socially, spiritually. And what Christina was setting the base for, looking also at the outdoor trends research from 2020, during the pandemic, a lot of us in our minds, like, everybody's going to get outdoors. That's a safe place to go. Even in 2020, the outdoor trends was still saying 72% of our outdoor participants were white, and 54% of them being male. And what their research was saying is that people of color, as Christina was speaking of, that lens are still much less likely to seek recreation and adventure and even just solace in nature for the many reasons as she was outlining. And so this is what people are calling the adventure gap. And as a youth serving organization, we have a really great opportunity to provide quality and impactful outdoor experiences so all young people can learn about in the most simple nature-based experience and connect with nature, too, as what these eight components, the adventure-based, where there's high impact and transformation and growth experiences.
Thank you. Well, that is really surprising and really disappointing. The lack of access if you're not white to the outdoors, especially when you talk about the benefits.
Absolutely. And the other piece is that young people's rate is still far less and it's still declining. They're still spending more time in front of screens and that less time playing outside. And so that opportunity to connect with nature is less, even in 2020 and 2021.
Well, incredibly important that we change this trend. As I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, Nicole, you have eight components that will provide ideas for developing transformative learning experiences for young people and help us better understand what this effective practice can look like.
Absolutely. So my experience with the outdoors is from day one, I played outdoors. I was with my family camping, hunting, shooting sports, hiking. So that was ingrained within me and it was just a normal part of what we did as a family. The other piece is I've been in youth work about 28 years and the one component of my programming was almost always a yearly capstone event and that was outdoors, mostly outdoors. And in conversations with, you know, in 27 years, now some of, you know, those adults are now in their 40s, but talking with them is that they remember these experiences that were hard and challenging and sometimes was so frustrating, but yet when they walked away with that good learning experience and the reflection, that was some of the best times of their youth development and really had an impact on them. So that is the piece that I really wanted to study was this term type 2 fun. How do we get the youth for that transformational growth, that impact into their adulthood from outdoor-based experiences? However, and as Christina has said, is that there's this lens of diversity and inclusion that we have to now process as we are developing these outdoor-based experiences, and along with experiential learning and meaningful reflection. All of that is what really drove me to some of this research. I planned and I did this work. I still do this work, but there wasn't an intentionality around that. And so that's how I developed these eight components. So my first component is a sense of safety and support. And again, I think Christina really laid that out on the access and equity, not always feeling a safety and support. So proper risk management is part of that. Youth program quality, but also how do we ensure that physical and historical trauma safety for all youth? Developing quality learning environments, the emotional, social safety and support of the leaders for the youth. The second and third components kind of go together. They're called challenge and intensities. And so being able to be pushed both mentally and physically, taking youth out of their comfort zones and sometimes the leaders that we have there. But that's the challenge. And then that intensity is really creating this emotional high. And the research is talking about this edge work of bringing youth from a personal known to that limit of being pushed just a little bit farther. And again, we have to know and create that sense of safety and support to be able to challenge and have that edge work. The fourth one is a guided experience in nature. Now, there are many nature-based experiences that have lots of health benefits for youth and all people, but for an intentional transformational experiences, having that guided experience. Participants learn to live in nature through provided goals and reflection. So again, this is an adventure-based program that we're talking about, and how do we transform their learning in their new roles of being connected to nature. The next one is being able to break away from normal life. This is one of my favorites when we're guiding youth on these outdoor intentional programs, is that they are maybe not tied to their cell phones, not tied to social constraints that they are living in. They're out of their normal routines. And with us being community-based learning, being able to provide that break away from normal life and focus on themselves. The sixth component is really designing those activities to foster self-awareness. We want youth to grow in resilience, be able to give them that challenging goals, social emotional skills, and then accepting themselves, and obviously really learning themselves living in the environment. The seventh component is freely giving the invitation to explore. Even as adults, when are we able to just get outside nature and experience and just play? Let them explore their surroundings, discover new skills, connect with nature in the way that makes most sense to them. And so even though this is an intentional design, it's intentionally also giving them free choice and space. And then this last one is really fostering that environment for positive social support. So we start these components out with a sense of safety and support from ground zero, but then we're also fostering this entire environment for that social support. So feedback, acceptance, being able to learn in a community, make mistakes in that community, and then having that sense of social responsibility. And so those are really the eight components that I have researched over the last couple of years. And everything I read, a new article comes out, maybe a new youth development philosophy or term, I can place them in these eight components of intentional program design.
Thank you for sharing those. If I'm listening to this podcast and I'd like to implement those components, where do I start?
That's a great question. So for me, I think when I started diving into this work, you know, I wanted to just jump in with the programming, right? Connecting these dots, filling these gaps, and kind of found I needed to take a moment to just pause and educate myself and learn from all the different voices and experiences of those currently not experiencing the outdoors. And I wanted to be intentional about not doing so with burdening, you know, my peers and friends on all their experiences. And in that found the Melanin Base Camp organization. I highly recommend checking out their website. They have a series of writers from all different backgrounds and experiences who really write to this, and just taking the time to read and learn from their voices of, you know, one of them is titled something like, you know, things I wish I could tell my white friends when we're experiencing the outdoors, like very blunt on like the things that like, as an educator planning these experiences, like I need to hear. That website is melaninbasecamp.com. And then from there, honestly, asking the hard questions, doing that reflection piece with yourself and your programs, and seeing if they're meeting the needs of all students. Honestly, if you feel like it's a safe and welcoming environment for you, you need to realize that that might not mean it's lacking trauma for others. And as Nicole talked about with the sense of safety and support, you need to be prepared to walk with your youth through those experiences. So some examples that came to mind when diving into this was like last year, especially all the anti-Asian hate crimes that were happening. If you're out experiencing the outdoors with youth, are you prepared to support them if someone else you walk past makes a comment or makes them feel uncomfortable or unsafe? Like, are you prepared for that moment? Even changing the wording we're using, I think of camps as a very fun, wonderful experience, and that is a sense of safety and excitement for me. But historically, camps don't have that same feeling for everyone. So thinking of things like concentration camps. And so being cognizant of those things and realizing where we can make those changes. So again, those those hard questions of our current programs. And then as we're developing new programs that are more welcoming, more inclusive, having those awesome challenge aspects, one thing I think we often do is we create this these new cool things, and then we market them the exact same way we've marketed all our other programs. Sending out these new programs in my normal newsletter is still reaching the same audience I had with my old programs. I think it's something a lot of us do, and it came up in conversations when I was doing this research, and it was a no-duh moment of like, obviously, like, so how are we doing that differently? Is it finding different ways to market our programs or being more intentional about reaching out with partners in our communities that are working with groups of youth and connecting with them and bringing their whole group along, and maybe even part of the planning process of these experiences, but being more intentional so we're actually achieving closing the adventure gap? And I'd also like to highlight that Nicole and I are working on a research brief that highlights the information shared today, but a lot more tips for you to use and put into practice. So stay tuned on our website for that.
You've really instilled a desire to learn more. And I want to go back to what you said, Christina, about not jumping right into the program. There's so much to learn. And when we want to include everyone and give everyone these opportunities, there's so much we need to learn from others and learn about ourselves before we can jump right into this. There isn't just a curriculum to pick up and take out to the woods with us. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I think we'd all love an easy answer on making the outdoors more accessible, and it'll take hard work, but through it, I think we'll all become stronger and have a lot stronger, more intentional programs as well.
Well, thank you both so much for being a part of this podcast today. There's so much that I know I am thinking deeper about in terms of the connection to the land, the connection to nature, providing a transformational growth experience with that lens for diversity so that all young people can engage in experiential learning with time for reflection, as you mentioned, Nicole, in the outdoors. And then I'm going to take that challenge that you talked about, Christina, about jumping into the outdoors ourselves and challenging ourselves in that way so that when we do bring young people out into the outdoors for the first time, we're ready to engage with them and opening our work up to new partnerships and communities who we haven't worked with before. So again, thank you both for being a part of this today.
Thank you, Carrie, for letting us share our work.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, and I'm looking forward to that research brief. So I will add that to the description of this podcast as soon as that is complete. Until then, I'd like to invite the listeners to go to www.extension.umn.edu/youth. And that's where you're going to find research-based information as well as training opportunities for youth development professionals and volunteers. Also, if you aren't already involved in our 4-H Youth Development Program, you'll find more information and learn more there. Now, if listening to today's podcast with Christina and Nicole sparked an interest in you to learn more about outdoor adventures with young people, we do have a dedicated webpage that includes upcoming training, ways to get involved, and I'll also talk about a new online self-study that has been created for grades 5 through 8 to engage in there. So do check out that outdoor adventures page off of our website as well. Thank you both again for being a part of today's podcast. This is Carrie Rabideau with the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again soon.